chest growl, Momo.
That a girl. All right. Yes, Chris Morales is right. I know this comes as shocking news. Steve Mason is on vacation. The Johnny Carson of sports radio is at it again. And so he's off on some, with a bunch of monks not speaking, in a teepee somewhere. And he'll be back. But Momo is here, and we've got a lot to get to right out of the gate. And before we do, we'll get to the NBA Finals. Our buddy Stephen A. Smith's in some hot water. We'll get to that. The All-Star Games tonight, as Chris mentioned, Shohei Ohtani is on full display. He's starting for the American League on the mound. He's hitting leadoff. That's never happened before. We'll get to all of it. But, Momo, here's a weird thing that happened to me over the weekend.
What?
So I went to – did you ever meet Dave Singer's dad before he passed away last year?
I think he was at one of Mason's parties. Didn't you think he brought him?
One of the great guys of all time, Bob Singer, passed away during the pandemic. And Dave really never had a service for him.
Right.
So over the weekend, he invited a bunch of people to a park. And we all talked about Bob, and it was fun. And, Bob was just, he came on the show tons of times when Dave was producing it. He's the world's biggest Dodger fan. Loved UCLA, loved the Lakers, mm-hmm. always in a great mood. So we're out there, and the thing I noticed is that no masks, hugs all around, handshakes all around, people sharing food. Is the pandemic now over? Like, did you watch the UFC fight?
I saw the highlight. I mean, it was like five seconds, right?
It was really short. Yeah, we'll get to it. But in Vegas, that crowd was the closest thing I've seen to a regular sports crowd, a 2019.
John, I was in Arizona last week at the finals.
Right.
There's no COVID happening there.
Okay, so sports fans have turned the corner. All right, everything's back to normal. We're keeping our fingers crossed. But this just in: the pandemic is apparently done.
The pandemic.
It's over. Everybody is behaving like it never happened, and maybe that's a good thing. As long as you're vaccinated, I say you be you. You people that aren't getting vaccinated don't make any sense to me, but, that's a different show. All right. So where do we want to start? Let's start with the finals.
Okay.
Because you were in Phoenix, as you mentioned, for games 1 and 2. And I said, if Giannis is hurt at all, this is Phoenix in 5. And if Giannis can be Giannis, it's Phoenix in 6. And last night, Ramona, I've covered 7 finals in person, and then I did every game last year when the Lakers won it. So 8 finals game to game. What he's doing, I've seen that before, and the last person I saw do it was Shaq. And what I mean is, LeBron's the most complete player ever to play in the finals. He can do everything. So LeBron's like one of a kind. Kobe was unbelievable in the finals. But Shaq, Ramona, when he led the Lakers to those 3 straight championships, then he won another one in Miami, he would get the ball, he would take it to the paint, and there was absolutely nothing the other team could do. It didn't matter. They either had to foul him or let him shoot, and when he shot, he scored. Giannis, in the last 2 games, has 83 points. 83 points. And he's not missing. Last night he was something like 16 of 23 from the field. I'm not so sure that this series, I mean, maybe I'm right and Phoenix comes back and wins tomorrow night, then it is Suns in 5. But I'm not so sure that Giannis has figured out he doesn't need to take outside shots. He was 13 for 13 in the restricted area. And if DeAndre Ayton can't stay out of foul trouble, I think the Bucks can come all the way back. What do you think?
Yeah, look, they looked like, here's what happened last night. DeAndre Ayton gets in foul trouble. And Giannis has already figured out that they can't stop him. Like, he can get whatever he wants against the Suns. He just goes downhill. He's actually a really good interior player, too. We think of him as this sort of point forward, but he's really good as a small ball center, too. And when Ayton got in foul trouble, the Suns went small with Cam Johnson at center, and then Giannis decided they put Giannis at center. He's got his back to the basket even. He's catching in the post. And then they really can't stop him. And it's amazing that the positional versatility that that guy has, because you think that he needs the ball at the top of the key.
Well, he's 6'11". People forget that.
He is unbelievable. I mean, I remember you used to always say when Brandon Ingram came to the Lakers, like, that's his projection. Like, he needs to play like Giannis. And I think people think of Giannis as like this dunker, and he is, but he's got a great handle. He's got great vision. So when he goes and has the outside game where he's driving downhill and no one can stop him, and then he has the inside game where there's nobody big enough to stop, maybe Jay Crowder, maybe, but really that's a tough cover for Phoenix when DeAndre Ayton's out. I just think Giannis is playing like a guy that there's a moment in a series where a player kind of sizes up the opponent and says, oh, I don't think they can stop me. Like, I don't think anybody can stop. And the only thing that can stop Giannis is literally if he can't make his free throws. That's the only thing that stops him, much like Shaq, to be honest. And at home,
13 of 17 last night.
Yeah,
by the way,
pretty darn good. And I know Monty Williams called that out, 17 free throws. But you know what? He was getting fouled that much. Like, he really does get fouled all the time. So I think if he can make his free throws, he doesn't have to make all of them. He just has to make about 65-70%. They're really hard to stop because I don't think Phoenix has anyone who can stop him, much less even slow him down hardly.
The book on Giannis for his whole career has been build a wall.
Yep.
Remember Stan Van Gundy would say, build a frickin' wall.
Yep.
Right in front of the basket, and don't let him get those shots. The problem with this team that Milwaukee has built, and they're not really making their threes yet. They haven't had a Middleton game where he just goes off. He did it earlier in the playoffs. But the problem is you can build a wall, but Giannis is... He's not as good of a passer as LeBron, but he's a really good passer. He gets out of those double teams really fast, and they've got other guys who can score. I think they found something in these last two games. And here's the thing. Giannis has always, and he's done this when he's played against the Lakers and all the games that Michael and I have done. He feels like he has to shoot outside to keep the defense honest. Ramona, he's not doing that.
No.
He took two threes last night, and one of them was at the end of the quarter, so that one really doesn't even count. He didn't make either one of them. But he's not shooting them, which is exactly, if I'm Mike Budenholzer, what I want. I don't want him shooting threes. I don't even want him shooting mid-range shots.
Well,
I want
him
in the restricted area. And what's Phoenix going to do if DeAndre Ayton's in foul trouble?
They don't
Frank
have
Kaminsky
much.
Can't guard him.
No, they
Dario
tried.
Saric is out.
Yep, they can't play him. I mean, Cam Johnson can go there, and they can.
Can't stop him.
Can't stop. He's too big. I mean, I think Mikal Bridges is really good, but how much does Giannis have on him? 50 pounds? I mean, he's much bigger than Bridges. So, to me, Crowder's maybe the only guy, but that Giannis has got a foot on him. I mean, it feels like a foot, right?
Right.
I think if you're the way that they were playing him, where they have him down low, what defenses generally tend to do is they build a wall or they dare him to shoot threes. They sag off and they dare him to shoot threes. Well, if he starts down low on the block, like as a small ball center, he's already down low. There's no room to build a wall. And there's no way to sag off him. He can score it with that little jump hook, or he's got a lot of post moves down low. So if they play him more as this small ball center, that is a really difficult matchup.
I would do it until Phoenix figures out a way to stop it. And like I said, he scored 83 points in the last two games. He's north of 40. And by the way, I think if Milwaukee wins on Wednesday, we got a couple of days off.
Yep.
Tonight is more about baseball. Both next two nights are, really. And really about Ohtani, which we're going to get into in a second. But Home Run Derby tonight, we'll have that for you on ESPN LA. Sedano, LZ, and Cap are going to do an hour after us, and then we're rolling right into the Home Run Derby where Ohtani's the number one seed. Then tomorrow night he's going to pitch, and he's going to hit leadoff. I mean, it's really a showcase for how good this guy is. And so Wednesday is the next NBA Finals game. And I'm telling you, Momo, if Milwaukee wins that game, it flips the whole series. Because I know it would only be 2-2, but it means that Monty Williams, and so many times game four in a series kind of swings it.
Yeah.
Like if Phoenix wins, I think then the Suns win in either 5 or 6. But if Milwaukee wins, I would actually favor the Bucks because I think it would mean that Giannis has now, after all these, think about all these bad defeats and all the criticism he's taken. Both years he won MVP, which was Jokic won it this year, but the previous 2 years Giannis won it. Everybody said, well, he can't shoot, and he's never going to be able to lead his team to victory if he can't shoot. Well, Shaq couldn't shoot, And he's now turned into Shaq. 13 of 13 is crazy. It's just, I mean, if you can't stop Giannis around the basket, I don't think you can stop the Bucks.
Well, the way they have done it in the past is that with the free throws, right? You just foul him and force him to shoot, and if he doesn't make enough of them, then that's usually enough. But in Milwaukee, John, it's so different for him. I mean, I don't know what's better. Like, total quiet, because the Bucks fans just, like, totally sit on their hands and don't do the counting and don't do any of that. And it's really quiet in there, so you can hear the I don't know how many Phoenix fans are, but they're maybe 500 or something. They're counting, so you can just hear those 500 people. But other than that, it's really quiet. Whereas in Phoenix, they're so loud. It's almost it's a little too much. Like when I'm in the arena, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's uncomfortable. Like it's just like I don't know how the guy does any of this when he's on the road and fans are doing that. But he really seems to do better when it's quiet and he's at home. It's like a golfer, right? You're quiet on the backswing.
Well, yeah, and it's completely different when they're counting down his free throws. Like, but you said it earlier. He doesn't need to make them all. If he goes 13 out of 17.
Fine.
Yeah, they'll take that. And by the way, you mentioned it earlier. I wanted to get to this. Monty Williams, after the game, made a point about free throws. And I've heard this my whole career, that when one coach will say, hey, they shot way more free throws than we did. Well, think about everything you and I just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis is taking the ball to the rim. He's not shooting anything outside. So Monty said after the game, we had 16 free throws tonight. One person had 17. This is what everybody always used to say about Shaq. Well, Shaq shot 24 free throws, and our whole team only shot 20. It's because you can't guard him. You can't guard Shaq. You don't have anybody that can guard Giannis. That's why DeAndre Ayton had four fouls. That's why you had to go to Frank Kaminsky. Dario Saric is out for the whole finals. He blew up his knee. He's done. So they don't have anybody. Ayton, Ramona, strangely, has turned into the most important player for Phoenix for the remainder of the series.
Yep.
Because the best players for the Suns are guards. They play away from the basket. Mm-hmm. Devin Booker and Chris Paul. So, if Booker's not going to get to the free throw line, if he's going to stay outside and shoot, and he's a great shooter, and if Chris Paul is going to set other people up, they need Ayton. And he can't get in foul trouble. And if he's not in the game, they don't have anybody to guard Giannis. Of course the Bucks are going to shoot more free throws.
Well, Ayton, plus 23 in the first two games, John, minus 6 in game 3. And that is in addition to not being on the court for a lot of it because he got in foul trouble. So he really is the bellwether for Phoenix. Like, I know there's a lot. We have not made all that much about Devin Booker just disappearing in that game. It didn't even really play in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, to me, you got your guy who is your number one option, best player on the team, not having a good game at all, not even playing in the fourth. And Ayton, who's your bellwether, in foul trouble and not effective when he was in. It's actually surprising it was a 20-point game.
And Ayton better not foul Giannis because they're going to take it right to him. Giannis is going to take the ball to whoever is in those. Mm-hmm. If they try and build this wall, he's going to take the ball right at the wall. Now, that's the difference, Momo. In the past 3 years in the playoffs, when they got knocked out by Miami last year, when they got knocked out the year before, Giannis wouldn't attack the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now he doesn't care. You said the key word earlier. He's playing downhill. And there was a stretch last night where about 3 minutes where Giannis didn't get the ball, and he was ticked, man. He was screaming for the ball.
Yep.
He was, like, yelling for it like, you know, a lifeguard is, you know, you're yelling for somebody to come. You know, he's, give me the ball, you know. And so he's into this. He's dialed in, and I think it should be fun. Okay, so first of all, let me make a correction. Morales just texted me. I screwed that thing up earlier. Sedano, LZ, and Cap are on for a full show today. We're farming out the Home Run Derby to 11:10 a.m. Okay, so that's where you can hear the Home Run Derby tonight if you want to hear that. Sedano, LZ, and Cap will be on. We will have the All-Star Game on 7:10 tomorrow night. So that's the night where those guys do an hour. It's tomorrow night, and then we're rolling into the game. But tonight, if you want to watch the Derby, it's on ESPN TV. If you want to listen to it, it's on 11:10 a.m., and then you've got Momo and I until 3:55, and then Sedano and LZ and Cap for your drive home today. All right, coming up next, Stephen A. Smith is in hot water because of something he said about Shohei Ohtani on First Take this morning. Stephen A. has already come out with an explanation Some might call it an apology. I'm not sure it demanded an apology, but we'll let you decide. We'll play the comments for you next. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
He John, would look like Chris Hemsworth if he had
really
like
say that?
Gray hair and a really big nose. Yeah. Well, you that's in that mind of Mason. You know he actually believes that, right?
Oh, yeah. You know what? So my favorite one is like, you know, when they say, who do you look like? Who would play you in the movie or something, right?
Yeah.
And I used to always think Jodie Foster would be a good doppelganger, or like a good actor to play
like
me
that.
Or something. And then my husband, who, oh, this is so the right answer. Thank you, Nevin. Okay. He's like, oh, I think you're more like Jennifer Aniston. And I'm like, thanks. But there's just like, good answer. But
you're funnier than Jennifer Aniston.
I'm funnier. I probably got, you know, maybe twice her size at this point. I don't know how skinny she is now, but like, my goodness, she is in amazing shape. And she's in her 50s. Like,
you know who I would, it just completely off the top of my head would be for you? Is Elizabeth Banks. Do you know who that is?
Oh, yeah. Thanks. That's a good one, too.
Yeah. I think that,
like, I like that.
Yeah. She can play a lot of different characters.
Yeah.
And
how about you? Who's yours?
It's easy. It's a matter of fact, if he's got the big forehead, he's got the same hair, the same complexion, it's Will Arnett. Do you know who that is?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one for you.
Yeah. And Mason,
I mean, because he's funny, and I feel like that's a good fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we, like, if we're standing next to each other, we look like we could be from the same family. Mason's is David Schwimmer. He'll say Chris Hemsworth, but it's really David Schwimmer.
It does.
No,
is David
Mason
Schwimmer.
Will say, like, George Clooney, and it's like, no.
Brad Pitt. Yeah. But Schwimmer would be perfect for him.
That's great.
Okay. So, all right, full disclosure here. I used to do a radio show years and years and years ago with Stephen A. Smith.
Yep.
I've known him for 20 years. I like
him
a lot.
He's a friend of mine as well. Okay, so,
okay,
I'll
so
say that as well.
This I am going to tell you guys right off the top that I'm coming at this with some bias, all right? That I'm a I like Stephen A., always have. Really like him. But he's in some hot water, and maybe he should be. We're going to take some calls on this. 877-710-ESPN if you want to weigh in. 877-710-3776. He took an unusual stand on Shohei Ohtani this morning on First Take. So every morning, Max Kellerman, our buddy, and Stephen A. debate sports issues of the day. And Ohtani, Ramona, tonight is the beginning of his coming out party. This All-Star game is really all about him. In case you've been living under a rock, Shohei Ohtani is Japanese. He plays for the Angels. He throws the ball 100 miles an hour. He's a great pitcher. He also leads the major leagues in home runs. He's a great hitter. No one has pitched and hit in the same season at this level since Babe Ruth. That's how far back you have to go.
Yeah.
So tonight, he's the number one seed in the home run derby. Tomorrow night, he will lead off, hit first, and start as the starting pitcher for the American League.
I love it.
He is so special that Major League Baseball has changed the rules. So when he comes out of the game as a pitcher tomorrow night, Ramona, they're going to let him stay in as a DH.
Cool.
Now, in a regular baseball game, you probably couldn't do that unless you did a double switch. But they said, screw it. The game's about him. He stays in the game and no matter what. So it's all about him. And Stephen A. said something this morning that has a lot of people on social media calling for an apology and really mad at Stephen A. Here's exactly what he said this morning on First Take.
But when you talk about an audience gravitating to the tube or to the ballpark to actually watch you, okay, I don't think it helps that the number one face is a dude that needs an interpreter so you can understand what the hell he's saying in this country. And that's what I'm trying to say. You know.
Okay. So that is he kind of hit some buzzwords there, Ramona. Mm-hmm. That is what immigrants have been hearing forever. You know, it's kind of like, if you live here, learn the damn language, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So it's a hot button issue. But there is no doubt that, like, you look at guys like Giannis, who English is not his first language. You look at guys like Dikembe Mutombo, who learned English. And when they did interviews in English, they became immensely popular. Was Stephen A. out of bounds with that take?
So people are really upset because it's sort of placing a value judgment on, like, why he doesn't speak English or whatever. And I think, you know, when I see it, it's like, well, I mean, the guy learned our national pastime pretty damn well, right? Like, like he learned the American national pastime amazingly well. And it's sort of like he just got here a couple of years ago. I think he actually does speak English. I've seen him speak English in other settings, but he's not comfortable enough with it to do press conferences. And I, you know, that is very common for foreign players the first couple years in their career. So I know what Stephen A is saying. Like, would he be more popular if he spoke English? Probably. But he's really popular now.
Well,
and he's really popular. It's not really hurting him. I mean, people really love Otani. I mean, were you the one who said this? Like, he's your must watch. Like, he's the guy.
He's the ultimate stop what you're doing.
He really is. He is that guy. And I would say this about Otani. He is a fascinating guy. It makes me want to go write a profile of him, okay? He wanted to come to Anaheim, and he chose them over. He chose the Angels over other teams that have bigger followings, right? And the Angels are not the Yankees. The Angels are not right. The Dodgers. They're not even Seattle. I think he would have had a higher profile being in Seattle, right?
Right, like Ichiro.
Yeah, like Ichiro. But he chose Anaheim because A, they would let him pitch and hit, and B, I think he liked a little of the not being in the spotlight quite as much. Like, maybe not the shine that you get from all that. And, you know, him doing the double feat here, you know, the starting pitcher, leading off, home run derby. It reminds me a little of Blake Griffin. Like, this is, remember when Blake...
Lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, lightning in a bottle. And, like, I love that baseball is giving people what they want. You know what people want to see right now? They want to see Shohei Ohtani as much as possible. The fact that they're letting him DH, that means he's probably going to play most of the game.
I think he's going to play the whole game.
Yeah, that's
and,
awesome.
Well, here's what if I would have been opposite Stephen A., and Mason and I have filled in on that show. If I would have been opposite Stephen A., I would have said, here's why you're wrong. I and you, we were both much younger. You were little.
Yeah.
But we're here for Fernando Mania.
That's right.
Fernando never did interviews in English.
Right.
And he became an absolute cult following. We were both here. Mm-hmm. When Vlad Guerrero played for the Angels.
Yep.
Vlad never learned English. And by the way, we mentioned Ichiro. All these guys, Fernando, Vlad, Ichiro, they spoke functional English with their teammates.
Yeah.
The running joke with the Dodgers was Fernando could have done interviews in English. He just didn't want to.
Right.
It doesn't lessen your greatness if you learn... If you don't learn how to do interviews in English, there's too many examples. Roberto Clemente, you know, going, if you want to go way, way back, English not great.
Yeah.
So I think Stephen A., I could have given him several examples of people that have done that. But I also think that he's probably right that if Ichiro was doing the interviews, or I'm sorry, if Ohtani was doing the interviews that Giannis does, you know, Giannis speaks really good English now,
mm-hmm.
and that his popularity would probably go up. But hey, Ramona, let's be honest. Mike Trout plays for the Angels.
He doesn't say anything either.
Right. He does interviews in English.
Yeah. Most people don't say much in their interviews anyway. You do sideline interviews for a lot of years. I mean, very rarely, except when Shaq cursed at you. I mean, does anybody really make any news in their sideline interviews? You know, they don't always say much. So I get what Stephen A is saying. I think in 2021, it's an unpopular opinion, and it's kind of insulting to a lot of folks who are like, hey, you know, him needing an interpreter doesn't distract me, because he really is that good on the field. He really is that compelling
right.
that you want to watch. And I think it kind of makes I was listening to Jun Lee. He's a Korean-American guy that works for us.
Yeah, he does Around the Horn.
Yeah, he does Around the Horn. He had a good tweet stream about it, kind of explaining why that is really offensive to folks, especially, you know, former immigrant people who had immigrated and all that. And I go read what his thoughts on that. But I think, look, Stephen A gets paid to have opinions. So we live in a world where we want people to have opinions and thoughts, and sometimes those are going to be unpopular. And somehow we need to get to a place where you're allowed to have an unpopular opinion without everybody freaking out. Like, okay, so people are mad. Like, yeah, they're mad. That's fine. It's okay to be mad, right? So like, you don't, you know.
So we've got full phone lines. People want to react to this. And Stephen A, after this kind of blew up, he did a video and sent it on social media attempting to clarify what he said. Some people are even criticizing the clarification.
Yeah.
But we'll let you react to it next. 877-710-3776. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Today it's Momo in Ireland. Matter of fact, Momo in Ireland all week. Mason on another vacation. And we're talking about Stephen A. Smith's comments this morning on First Take. Shohei Ohtani is going to be the biggest star in sports over the next 48 hours. Home run derby tonight. He's the number one seed. The Angels' designated hitter slash starting pitcher who has set baseball on fire this year. And this morning on First Take, which is, as Ramona pointed out earlier, a debate show. They're asked to debate each other and give opinions. Stephen A. Smith gave the opinion that if Ohtani wants to maximize his star power and grow the game of baseball to its maximum effect, he should learn English and start doing interviews in English and promoting the sport in English. That has touched a nerve with a lot of people, a lot of immigrants, who are told that, Ramona, from the minute they get here.
Yeah.
That, hey, you know, learn English. It's a political issue in some corners of our country. It is something that if you're raised where English is not your first language, you're kind of beat over the head with it. So a lot of people are coming down on Stephen A. Patrick in Whittier is online, wants to respond to this. Hey, Patrick, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Oh, my gosh. I'm so mad. I'm going to try really hard not to violate any FCC regulations.
Yeah, yeah, please don't. But you can be as mad as you want. Don't say any four-letter words. But why are you upset over this?
Well, first of all, I grew up 6 miles from Anaheim Stadium, so I'm a homer. So I'll get to my bias.
That's okay.
And but the reason is, look, you guys, the political climate here. We've had all these problems with Asian hate, and now we come out with this thing saying,
"That's true."
You know, is it a good idea for this to be the face of Major League Baseball? I mean, that is, I'm gonna talk about tone deaf. You know, and the last time a sports speaker said something this racially insensitive, it was Al Campanis and Jimmy the Greek, and they both never worked again.
Yeah, I would disagree with you, Patrick, that this is to that level. I would say this is, and we'll play some comments from Stephen A. that he used later in the day to kind of clarify. This is more, he's looking at this as if he's marketing the sport, like marketing baseball. He's not saying that Ohtani isn't capable of being the best player in the league. He might be now. What he's saying is if he wants to maximize his star power, that he should learn English. The reason I would come back at him, Patrick, is that Fernando never did that. Vlad Guerrero never did that. Yeah. Ichiro never did that. And all those guys are going in the Hall of Fame.
Well, here's what I would say, too. I also think that what you just said, John, if he wants to maximize his star power, none of that relates to winning. None of that has anything to do with baseball, right?
Yeah, good point.
That may not be Ohtani's goal. Like, I don't think his goal is to be the biggest star possible. I think his goal is to come over here and ball out, like, which is what he's doing. I mean, he is awesome right now. And, like, I think he chose Anaheim because, A, they let him do all of this, and, B, they let him, you know, pitch, hit, whatever he wants. They, you know, the only time he – Joe Maddon has this good line where he says the only time he struggles is when you put limitations on what he can do. He's awesome. And I think it's sort of refreshing to see somebody who's not just trying to maximize their star power. That's like so much of our social media and so much of our world is maximize your star power,
right.
Tweet about it, Instagram it. He doesn't care about any of that.
Yeah, he's playing, and what makes it kind of strange is that Trout is the same way.
Same
you don't
way.
See Trout beating his chest. Yep. And, you know, Trout doesn't have any Steve Mason in him. He doesn't have any I love
look
me some me.
Yeah.
Here's Devin in L.A. Hey, Devin, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's going on? Happy Monday.
You too, man.
I just wanted to say, number one, sports are like a universal language. They're their own language. Mm. I can go play basketball at the park and be playing with some, I mean, guys from different parts of the world who don't speak any English, and we are out there picking and rolling and just playing basketball and don't have to speak a lick of English. We just know the game. The point I wanted to make and the direction I want to take the conversation quickly is I'm a brother. I'm a black man. And Rachel Nichols made some comments a week or so ago that I don't think were out of bounds at all. But she got hammered for her comments. So with Stephen A. working for the same company, you know, I mean, I want to know what's going to happen as far as disciplinary, because I think his comments were way more out of bounds than Rachel Nichols' comments.
All right. Thank you, Devin, for the phone call. That's interesting. Yeah, because, you know, they basically, they're both talking about different ethnic groups. Rachel got into her thing with Maria Taylor, and you know, ever since George Floyd, that whole dynamic between black and white Americans is a hot button. And this is a completely different thing. This is a Japanese baseball star who, at least yet, hasn't learned English. Ramona, and by the way, I say yet, he could, if he wants to. I mean, he's relatively young.
I think he does know English, by the way. I've
seen when he won Rookie of the Year last year, he gave his acceptance speech in English.
So what I would say is I can't give you any kind of a on-the-record kind of take on any of those situations just because it's a company policy. I'm not supposed to talk about other employees or anything like that.
Right.
But what I would say is, in terms of discipline or what should happen or whatever, we'll see, right? Like, let's see what happens. I know he pretty much immediately put out another video clarifying what he had said.
Yeah, you know what? Let's play that.
Okay.
This runs a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But here's Stephen A. after the blowback, after everybody said, man, are you all out of bounds about this? He released his own video on social media. This was less than an hour ago. Jorge, go ahead and play that.
My segment on Otani this morning on First Take. People are misinterpreting what I'm saying. I'm not talking about the state of the game. Baseball itself. Baseball's a great game, a great sport. And some of the greatest players in the world are foreign players. Tatis comes to my mind. I love this brother and what he brings to the table. And Otani is the second coming of Babe Ruth, okay? That's not what I was trying to say. I'm talking about the marketability and the promotion of the sport is exactly what Sports Illustrated essentially alluded to in their article last month when they talked about 28% of the players in Major League Baseball are foreign players. A lot of them need translators. You know, Spanish, it could be Mandarin, Japanese, the list goes on and on and on. If you are a sport trying to ingratiate yourself with the American public the way Major League Baseball is, because of the problems that you've been having to deal with in terms of improving the attractiveness of the sport, it helps that if you spoke the English language. It doesn't mean anything more than that. Baseball is a great game, but baseball's audience is significantly older than the NBA, the NFL audience, etc., etc. That's what I was talking about. Nothing more. We're only talking about Otani because he's phenomenal. He's going to be in the home run derby, and he's got 33 home runs with a .279 batting average. Plus, he can pitch, and he's the second coming of Babe Ruth, practically. We know it's an international sport. We know that that's great. And baseball having a global appeal that it is, fine. But in the United States, all I was saying is that when you're a superstar, if you can speak the English language, then guess what? That's going to make it that much easier and less challenging to promote the sport. That's all I was saying about anybody. Later.
All right, so that clears up a little of it. And I don't think in that context, Ramona, that it's necessarily all that controversial. I would again come back at Stephen A. and say it didn't hurt Fernando Valenzuela. It didn't hurt Vlad Guerrero. Mm-hmm. It didn't hurt Ichiro Suzuki. And none of those guys ever did interviews in English. And I thought your point of, if you just concentrate what he does on the field and make it about that, he can grow the game with his play rather than what he says.
Well, and honestly, I think there's so few people in baseball who play with a style like him where it's just, I want to watch, I want to see who's going to do it. I mean, baseball has some exciting plays, like a home run or whatever it is, but he's exciting at almost everything he does, to the point where I don't need him to say anything. I don't need him to be an interesting hot take
well,
guy.
Mike Trout is generally considered the best player in baseball. He never says anything.
Yeah, and it's like baseball, there's certain people you watch no matter what. Like, that's more for us in the media. Don't you think that's more for us in the media, what people say, or whether they get into scuffles online, or whether they pop, or we have discussion topics. But there's plenty of players who are out there. I mean, Giannis doesn't really say anything. Giannis is awesome. Right?
There are great players who never do interviews at all. I mean, Lindsay was in Cleveland when Albert Bell was there. He just wouldn't talk to anybody, and when he did, he normally bit people's heads off.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was such a good player, he had to cover him anyway. So Stephen A's point is, if in the United States, if you want to grow the game, you know, you'll learn English. I don't think it's necessary, but I don't think it's that controversial of a point. Maybe I'm biased because I like Stephen A, and I'm not, you know, my dad was an immigrant, but he came from Ireland where everybody speaks English with really heavy brogues, so you can't understand him. But I would imagine that, and you mentioned that the guy, who was the guy you worked with on Around the Horn that wrote about this on Twitter?
Oh, June Lee.
Yeah, you mentioned that he had some thoughts on it. I think what you're going to find today, even with Stephen A's explanation that we just played, is that people who came here or whose parents came here where English wasn't their first language might be, that's a hot button issue for them. So anyway, we wanted to bring it up. Okay, coming up next, book of questions. I've got a moral dilemma to throw at Jorge and Lindsay, at Ramona.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, this week it's Momo in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace, and it's time for our Wheel of Questions. We've got to spin the wheel here. Wheel of Questions presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. You got a car that's just sitting around, not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. Okay, Jorge, spin the wheel. Oh, this is a good one. Okay, so I'm going to make this personal. I'm going to make this harder on you guys. Oh. I'm going to make it about me, okay? So, Ramona, Jorge, Lindsay, let's say I come to you and tell you I have committed a serious crime, okay? I tell you I'm having trouble sleeping at night and feel that you are the only one I can trust with this confession. A few days later, you read in the paper that someone else has been arrested for the crime I committed.
Ooh.
All right, so the question is, what do you do? Do you go to the police and tell them what you know? Do you come to me and confess and warn me that if I don't turn myself in, you're going to? Or do you say nothing because you don't want to betray my confidence? Momo, you first. I come to you, I've committed a serious crime, like a felon.
Like how bad? Like hurting someone or stealing something? Because I think there's difference.
Let's say I grabbed a bag of money out of the back of an armored car.
Oof. Ooh. Okay.
Okay. I grabbed $1 million out of the back. I had a moment of weakness and I grabbed $1 million and drove off. All right. Then you read that someone else has been that Travis Rogers has been arrested for the crime that I committed. How do you handle it?
Well, see, the reason I asked you what kind of crime was it, like if you murdered someone or you like did something really terrible, I'd be like, yo, you got to turn yourself in. That's pretty bad.
Right.
If you just stole something, I mean, it's bad and I feel bad for whoever got arrested, but if they didn't do it, then hopefully the cops figure out they didn't do it. Right? Like,
so
hopefully there's not enough evidence. So
you're going to keep my secret and not tell anybody
else. Yeah, I'll keep your secret. No, if I'm questioned, I'm going to rat you out. If they come to me, I'm not lying for you. I'm not going to jail for you. Sorry.
All right.
But I wouldn't say anything if you kill somebody, yeah, you got it. I mean, I'm turning you in.
All right, Lindsay, how about you?
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, if you like robbed a bank or stole something or whatever and no one got hurt, then I wouldn't turn you in. But
you would just keep the secret and let the other person do the time.
Well, hopefully we have good enough detectives that they wouldn't, you know.
True. No, but they've been arrested.
They got arrested, okay, but arrested. That's different than convicted.
No, let's make it harder. Let's say that they're up the green mile. They're going to jail for the next 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know.
No, let them deal with it.
Rory, how do you play?
I wouldn't like actively seek out like turn you in. Like Ramona said, I think if I was questioned about it, I wouldn't lie. I'd be like, yeah, he told me. But if I had nothing to do with it, as far as I wasn't involved, you just told me, and nobody was the wiser, then I would just let it go.
All right, Jorge, how about you?
I would try to convince you to turn yourself in. That's what I would do.
And what if I said, no way, man, I can't. I got I'm my family's one way of support. I'm too old.
Dang.
I can't go to jail.
Okay, then let's split the bag. 50-50.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You said if it's more serious. What if I would have hit a pedestrian, killed him, but seriously injured him to the point where, and then I panicked and drove off.
Which is what happens to people.
Right. What would you do then?
I'd try to convince you to turn yourself in.
What if I said I wasn't?
I might do an anonymous tip or something.
Lindsay, are you turning me in?
Is the person hospitalized?
Yes.
look at our morals here.
Then I think so.
And they're going to sue me. They're going to sue me for every penny I have because I left the scene of the accident.
Oh, you shouldn't have left the scene of the accident.
Of course I shouldn't have. I'm like guilty of sin. Jorge, how do you play it?
Turn you in, man.
Turn me in?
Yeah.
Man, you guys
have
all
a family
rats.
Too. They have a family too.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I probably do the same thing. I have the guiltiest conscience of all time.
Yeah.
So I would beg you to turn yourself in. And you've already told me, by the way, that you're I've already said I'm having trouble sleeping. I can't live with myself. How am I going to be if somebody else is doing the time for what I did? I'd never make it. I'd just turn myself in and be different. But it's interesting. It does tell you. So, yeah, and I don't know if that person in the scenario I put the three of you in, if you're a good friend or a bad friend, if you don't turn me in, you know, that's what makes makes it hard.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good point. But I mean, the truth is like, this is what I know as a reporter. Okay. When somebody did something and cops know this too, detectives. Okay. When people do something, when they do something bad, like a cop, criminals or whatever, they always tell people. Sometimes they brag about it. Sometimes they have a guilty conscience. But whoever you tell, that person is going to rat you out. I don't care if it's your wife. I don't care if it's your husband. Yeah, they're going to eventually, when they get down to it and the cops question them, there's very few people who are going to lie for you. Don't tell anybody. Keep it to yourself. That's kind of like what you have to do. It's like, they say you have to live with it. That's your punishment. You have to live with it. Because if you tell people, I guarantee you they're going to find out. It's going to spread.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Coming up next, Ramona is as connected of an NBA reporter as anybody I know. And the Lakers and the Clippers have some big decisions to make. I'll throw all those decisions at Momo next. But first, are you a Led Zeppelin fan, Ramona?
A little bit, yeah.
Jorge, how about you?
No.
Not really? You're too young? Lindsay, you're probably too young. Are you a Led Zeppelin
fan? No, I'm a big Led Zeppelin fan. I love classic rock.
Yeah.
They were my favorite band when I was in high school. If you ask most people what the greatest Led Zeppelin song of all time is, they'll say Stairway to Heaven. But then you know they're a poser because that's their biggest hit ever. That's the one that, you know, has the most sold copies. But it's something else. Like, mine's Over the Hills and Far Away. Adrian Garcia Marquez, his favorite song of all time is Ramble On. They have so many good songs. And here's your chance. We're giving this away now. To see Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening at the Greek on October 20th. Now, Jason's dad, John, who's no longer alive, was the drummer for Led Zeppelin when they had, you know, John Paul Jones and Robert Plant and Jimmy Page and John Bonham. That was Led Zeppelin. Jason has kept the band and the spirit of the band alive, and he's going to be at the Greek on October 20th, and we're now giving away tickets. You can buy them if you don't win them. You can buy them at Ticketmaster.com, but right now, caller number 7 wins a pair of those tickets. Excuse me, 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.